ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
G'day, Dr. Carl here. Back in 1986, I could not wait to see teacher Krista McAuliffe on the Space Shuttle Challenger launch into space.
Roger, Challenger. Obviously a major malfunction.
We could not believe what we were seeing. The Challenger Legacy. To hear more, search for science fiction and look out for The Challenger Legacy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Listen app.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story about an experience that, in its milder form, I'm going to say is pretty universal. Most of us have felt this. But if things have ever escalated beyond mild, and you're generally a good person, you'll know this is an experience that can also involve a fair bit of embarrassment.
Hi, Sana, and all in the mind team. I heard your call out for road rage incidents, and I thought I would reach out.
This is Simon, and yes, I'm talking about road rage, but not when you're the victim, but when you're the rager.
I run a small food business in regional Victoria. A big part of my work is delivering, so I'm in the delivery van all the time.
Simon comes across as a pretty mild-mannered, even keeled kind of guy, and he doesn't mind delivery driving. Until he hits the city.
And I've noticed, particularly when I'm delivering in Melbourne, or actually only when I'm delivering in Melbourne, my reaction to road rage just is not reasonable. I find myself taking everything incredibly personally.
Like when someone cuts him off.
Clearly they mean to insult me personally, which makes no sense, but it's just what seems to go through your mind.
But what really gets Simon steaming is loading zones.
As a delivery driver, I basically need loading zones to do my job. But the reaction I get immediately when I see a non-delivery person parked in a loading zone, it's just irrational. It's never gotten to the physical stage, but my mind just boils for some reason, and I don't know why. It's regularly caused me to be far more verbally aggressive than I ever would be normally.
This is totally out of character for him.
After those interactions happen, I feel deeply affected by it, knowing that I'm clearly the one in the wrong here. I get shaky and embarrassed, but also just like my mind wasn't me for a time.
As much as we might hate to admit it, many of us would be guilty of doing something similar at some point or another. I know I definitely am, and I feel deeply stupid and embarrassed about my behavior on a couple of occasions. And so the question is, why is it that even people who are generally calm and courteous in everyday life see red behind the wheel?
We've done a fair bit of work with people who don't like that part of themselves and do find that they get quite angry. It can be really common.
What does something called the hostile attribution bias have to do with it? And what can you do to stop yourself from spinning out of control?
Aggressive incidents aren't siloed. What happens on the road is going to influence what you do after you get out of the car. So it has a ripple effect.
So today, getting a grip on road rage. I'm Sana Qadar from ABC Radio National. This is All in the Mind. So it's pretty clear that Simon is self-aware when it comes to his road rage. He knows it's not helpful to himself or to others. This is where he's at now.
The last few weeks I've been trying to, when I'm driving into Melbourne, actively tell myself that most people on the road are not trying to be assholes. That is often proved wrong, but I even try and then tell myself that even if they're proving me wrong, they're probably just having as bad a day as I'm about to have. So it seems to help, I literally have it written on my steering wheel. But yeah, it is really concerning how someone who really avoids confrontation in day-to-day life, but when it comes to loading zones, my mind just explodes.
So, yeah, I want to ask, what do you notice in his story? What does it tell us about the psychology of road rage?
That's a really great story to share. And I must admit, when you first said you're going to show a story, I thought it was going to be someone who'd received road rage, which
right.
is what we tend to hear a lot about.
This is Amanda Stevens.
My background is in psychology, so I'm particularly interested in how emotions influence what we do and what we think.
She's a senior research fellow with the Accident Research Centre at Monash University in Melbourne.
We've done a fair bit of work with people who don't like that part of themselves and do find that they get quite angry. It can be really common. So if we think about what causes our anger, it's generally when we have a goal and something gets in the way of that. And we get particularly angry if we see that what's getting in the way is avoidable. So if you've got someone parking in your loading bay, they're actively getting in the way of you achieving your goal.
And then with Simon in this case, you know, I also wondered whether the people being in the loading zones is tripping some sort of really primal wire in his brain, because what they're doing in a way is threatening his livelihood. If he can't park in the loading zone, he can't make deliveries, he can't run his business, he can't make money. And so that I wondered if that was part of what was playing out for him and what was making him so angry in these cases.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you've touched upon a really interesting point as well. This often doesn't happen in silo. So whatever else is going on in his day, whether that's tight scheduling or simply being in Melbourne traffic, all of this will come together to create that frustration in that moment. So often it isn't one thing. Whatever's going on in our life or more broadly, that will travel with us in the car and that will determine how we respond to different situations.
He also talked about, you know, particularly getting worked up in Melbourne. Do cities lend themselves more to road rage? And does it, if so, does it have to do with like the anonymity of cities?
It's interesting because wherever I go, people always say, oh, it's worse in our city or it's worse in our country. So I think it's prevalent everywhere, but we do have different driving etiquettes in cities, which can be hard to understand if we're not familiar with the city as well.
The other thing I did wonder is he describes himself as confrontation averse, but this kind of facet of his personality totally changes in the car. Is that typical? Like, what is it about being in a car that makes, you know, otherwise in mild-mannered people get so angry?
I think there's a couple of things, and one is the depersonalization. So when we're in the car, we tend to see the other vehicles rather than the people within them. But I think coupled with that, we have different social norms on the road than we would outside of the road. So, for example, if you're in a grocery line and someone cuts in front of you, you're probably not likely to tut at them or wave your hand at them. Or, and I've said this to people before, and some people have said, no, I would.
Yeah, but I'm like, I would probably say something and be like, excuse me, politely but strongly.
But many of us more shy people might just do it into internally.
Right.
But on the road, doing that is more acceptable. Now, I'm not saying that's correct, but we do have a culture where we see a lot of aggressive driving. And in fact, what we've found is when we ask people if they are becoming more aggressive over time, the people who say they are do so because they feel that the roads are becoming more aggressive. So it fits in with that idea that if we feel it's culturally acceptable, then we're more likely to do it.
So it feels like a self-reinforcing circle then. Like, you do it because you think it's acceptable. The more you do it, the more acceptable it becomes. And so on you go.
Absolutely, yeah.
The thing is, anger is also a very normal response to threat. And driving is dangerous. Someone's careless swerve could injure or kill you. So a certain amount of anger is probably inevitable on the roads. But the trick is to manage how that anger is expressed. You don't want your fight or flight response to lead to an actual fight. And I also wondered on the fact that, you know, it's depersonalized when you're in a car. It's like you're almost dehumanizing other people. And I always had this weird idea that, like, if our cars had a giant screen on top that were projecting our faces in real time, there would be less road rage because you could see the facial expressions of the person. You might see the regret flash across their face for doing a dangerous cutoff or whatever, you know, like, but it would humanize the person in the car.
Absolutely. And I think that's another problem that we have at the moment. Often we can't see the driver, so we don't know their intent.
Yeah, so windows are increasingly more tinted.
Exactly. And we have what we call in psychology this hostile attribution bias, which means that when we're already frustrated or stressed, we tend to blame people a little bit more for situations, and we tend to think that they're being more provocative towards us than they actually are. So we're almost looking for them to be the person who's trying to antagonize you. So how we feel when we get in the car can really influence those decisions that we make. If we're feeling angry and we're feeling stressed, or we have a big workload, or we're driving in a different city, we can almost be predisposed to then see someone as, oh, you deliberately cut me off, or you're deliberately parking in the spot I need to. So we have that instinctual response.
This seems to explain some of what's going on for Simon when he's driving around Melbourne and doing his deliveries and getting increasingly worked up.
I find myself taking everything incredibly personally. Like, when a person cuts me off, clearly they mean to insult me personally, which makes no sense.
And it helps partly explain an experience I had with road rage as well. So I wanted to pick up on that because I have an experience of road rage that's very much related to this. So I remember, I might get annoyed in the car when things happen, but I don't do what I did on this particular day. And this particular day was a very stressful day. I think by the time this incident happened, it was like the fifth stressful thing in the morning. My toddler had tantrumed. It was a struggle getting out the door. That entire week had been kind of miserable. And then I was just about to pull out of my parking spot with my child in the back, who probably was still screaming at that point. And a woman just sped down the road and completely cut me off as I was mid-turning onto the road. Like, it was quite aggressive. So it was just the last thing on a pile of things. And I've never done this before, but I, like, revved and went after her for, like, maybe a couple of minutes. I didn't go for long because she turned off and I was like, this is insane. I'm behaving so stupidly. But I chased her down the street in a way I've never done before. And I don't know what the heck I was planning to do. Like, I'm never going to get out of the car. I wasn't going to cut her off. Like, I don't know what my plan was, but I just kind of lost control in that moment of my mind and my behavior.
That's a really common story that I've heard. And I think what's really important about that is that most people who put their hand up and say, yes, you know, I have had a little bit of road rage or I've been a bit aggressive, it doesn't mean they do it every single time they drive, which is exactly what you're saying. You know,
yeah.
But it's a combination of events that meant that on that one occasion, you had that reaction. And I think what's really neat about thinking about that is comparing all the times when you haven't. And so you've already been able to unpack it and say, look, you know, there was a buildup of stress and it led to that one reaction. So recognizing mm-hmm. those situations is the first step in then going, okay, so next time that happens, what can I do? Or getting in the car and just doing a quick self-check. Like, how am I feeling? Is this going to influence how I'm driving? Can be a really powerful tool just to recognize, oh, I might be a little bit more prone to a reaction.
Yeah. I mean, I feel quite ashamed about how I reacted. And I don't even know if she necessarily noticed me or cared, because I'm in this beat up 2007 Nissan Tita. So it's a really shitty car. She had this very shiny, expensive looking, I think, BMW or Mercedes. So, like, I do think an element of what threw me over the edge was being like, oh, this person with all this money thinks they own the road. You know, that felt like it was playing into it. I don't know if those class kind of things play out. But I think there is research to suggest that people in bigger, fancier cars act more aggressively and mean on the road.
Well, I think as well, there's also a general idea that we share the road, but we don't work collaboratively on it. So it's quite a competitive space as well.
Yeah, totally. I double-checked after my chat with Amanda, and there is indeed research on the kinds of cars that are more likely to drive aggressively. That work was published in 2020 by researchers at the University of Nevada. And what they did was observe 461 cars in Las Vegas to see whether they'd yield to a pedestrian at a crosswalk. Of the 461 cars, only 129 stopped. That's about a quarter. And the drivers of the more expensive cars were the least likely to yield. In fact, the likelihood that they would slow down decreased by 3% for every extra $1,000 that their car was worth. And this ties into other research on the topic. There was a paper published by researchers at the University of Helsinki in 2019 that looked at the personality traits of drivers of high-status cars, so cars like Mercedes or BMWs or Audis. This study didn't measure driving behavior directly. It inferred behavioral tendencies based on personality traits, and it found that self-centered men, who were argumentative, disagreeable, and unempathetic, were much more likely to own high-status cars. But, complicating the picture, that study also found that people with conscientious personality traits were also more drawn to high-status cars. The authors speculated that this might be the case because conscientious people are drawn to the quality of these cars, while the more disagreeable types are drawn to the status. But we don't really know, and overall, it is a bit of a mixed bag in terms of the research out there on the link between expensive cars and road behavior. It's not a clear-cut thing. So if you're listening to this and thinking, hang on, I drive a pretty nice car and I don't think I behave like a jerk, don't worry, the evidence is inconclusive. But if you want to find out more, we will link to those papers in our show notes. Now, when we talk about road rage, there is a whole constellation of behaviors we could be referring to. Amanda says there is a hierarchy.
We tend to separate it by thinking about road rage or extreme road rage as that point when someone gets out of the car and they want to confront another driver. And then we talk about more aggressive driving as when you use your vehicle to express your anger, so you follow another car or you tailgate. And then there's the more minor aggression, such as you're swearing or you're gesticulating to the other driver or honking the horn.
About 80% of us will engage in those milder forms at some point or another, people like myself or Simon. But in stories of road rage that hit the news, usually things have taken a violent turn.
Running over the 51-year-old victim in his Hyundai Getz.
The passenger in was pushed into a barrier on the Tullamarine Freeway.
Those are extreme cases, but it begs the question, how often does road rage turn violent?
So what we know when we ask people, survey research, is it's about 4% of people will say at some point it's gotten to the point where they've gotten out of the car.
Wow.
And they've tried to engage. But that doesn't mean that those 4% of people do that every single time they drive. As I said, it's often very rare and it's a combination of circumstances that just lead to that reaction on the day.
And are there certain personality types that are more prone to doing that kind of thing? Like, I imagine people with antisocial aspects to their personality would be more likely to.
Yeah, absolutely. So particularly if we're talking about those more extreme group of people, there'd often be a lot of other situations going on that may also be related to personality and how they're feeling at the time too.
A bit more on demographics. It might not surprise you to learn that while research suggests that female drivers experience anger just as much as male drivers, they are far less likely to act on that anger. Aggressive driving behaviors are a whole lot more common in younger male drivers.
And how much does road rage influence the likelihood of crashing?
So we borrow from international data for this, but it's a significant contributor to crash. So data from the US shows us that about 46% of fatal crashes have a behaviour that can be related to aggressive driving. So it's a huge contributor. And aggressive driving crashes are also more likely to be serious crashes.
Right. And I believe you can talk about tailgating as well. Why do people tailgate? Why do they do this behavior?
Well, there's a couple of reasons why people tailgate. It can be often unintentional. Some people don't mean to follow too closely at times. But most commonly, what we're probably talking
about... That feels very generous. I feel like when people are tailgating, they know what they're doing and they're being jerks about it.
In those instances, it's often, again, related to our road etiquette. So often you'll find when people talk about situations where they've tailgated, it's related to someone driving in a lane and doing a speed that they don't, the tailgater doesn't feel is appropriate for that lane. So it comes back down to those road etiquettes. Some of the psychology behind anger is really interesting as well, because anger kind of prepares us for a fight. So often anger can lead to us overestimating the amount of control we have in a situation. Mm. And I think this plays out a lot in tailgating. So people will drive quite close because they feel that's a safe distance that will achieve what they want.
That's interesting, because I have often wondered when people are tailgating that if anything happens and the car in front has to slam on the brakes, the car behind is screwed. Like, what do they think is going to happen? Why are they so confident in this behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're angry, we can end up taking more risks because we overinflate our ability to control the situation, and we also underestimate the risk in the situation. So it's not that people are probably thinking this is high risk, but I can do it. They probably actually don't see that the risk has changed so much.
Has road rage always existed since cars became a thing? Like, or is this a newer phenomenon? Do you know?
Oh, I remember reading papers that were published in the late 1980s about road rage, but I definitely think we're talking about it more. And I have a feeling that's because we're getting more footage. We're getting more dash cam footage. People are sharing the footage. There's a general sense it's increasing, but we're definitely talking more about it, which I think is fantastic, because the more we talk about it, the more we can work together to try to reduce it.
You are listening to All in the Mind from ABC Radio National. I'm Sana Qadar. So, road rage is common. Violence, less so, thankfully. But if you're someone who is prone to getting a bit ragey in the car and you'd like to dial down your raginess, Amanda Stevens from the Accident Research Centre at Monash University has a few strategies you can try.
Look, I think, first of all, having a think about what are the situations that get me really angry on the road, and are these consistent? Or thinking back to time. So Simon's great, because Simon has identified his specific circumstance that can trigger his anger and his aggressive response. So I'd sort of say the first step is really having a think about those times when you've gotten really angry or aggressive on the road, and what was happening, and not just what was happening on the road, but was something else happening more broadly.
Like when I was having that very stressful day and a very stressful week, and the one last thing happened. And it tripped me out.
Yes, absolutely. So thinking about that combination. So first of all, really being aware of what your specific set of triggers might be for that, because most people won't be aggressive every time they get in the car. And once you've sort of thought about that, you can work backwards and think, okay, is there something I can do before I get in the car that might help?
One simple example of this is giving yourself more time to get to where you're going, so that if you're delayed, you don't start stressing out and possibly getting a bit aggressive.
Or I'm going to have some calming music in the car, because I know that calms me down.
Amanda says deploying the 5x5x5 principle can also help.
So asking themselves, is this going to matter in 5 minutes or in 5 hours or in 5 days?
Right.
And if it's not going to matter, don't worry about it now. So it's finding what could work for you in terms of refocusing your mind. So some people might want to focus on the economy of driving. So if I start to drive aggressively, I might be burning more fuel. Some people might be focused, well, I don't want to get a fine if I'm speeding because I need my license for work. So it can be finding that mental shift to try to sort of step away from the anger. But it's very personal. Yeah. And the last thing I'd want to say to someone who, you know, is dealing with a lot in their life is going, just breathe when you get in the car.
Right.
That's going to work. I had a colleague who said she wanted to try singing because that might calm her down.
Okay.
But she said she was so bad at singing that she ended up getting angrier.
So that didn't work.
So the strategies really have to be practical and work for each person. And it's really, it can be a trial and error and finding out what works.
I do really like the 5-5-5 idea, because if I think back to my story that I shared, yes, I had all those stressors. But yeah, if I had thought in that moment, like, this literally will not matter in 5 minutes. Like, sure, she cut you off. Who cares? Life goes on. You aren't unsafe. It's fine. Something like that is a real sort of shortcut to, like, stop your brain from going in the pattern it's going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know for me, when I find myself getting wound up, I think about my colleagues' poor singing. And the comedy of that, it just pulls me out of my anger. Right.
Can I tell you one thing that's really worked for me? My husband is a notorious honker. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. There was one time, if people drive slow on the road, he gets pretty honky about it. And he started doing this to a car, and then we pulled up next to them at the lights, which is, of course, that's what's going to happen sometimes. And it ended up being a car full of really sweet older women who rolled down their window and said, "Is everything all right?" Like, they were quite concerned. They're like, "Oh no, have we done something?" And he's actually such a sweet, lovely guy. He was so mortified that that's the story that we tell ourselves forevermore. Whenever he wants to honk, I'm like, "It could be a car full of lovely older women. Do not make them upset."
So, and that's beautiful, because that's personalizing that vehicle again. I spoke with one participant who said they tailgated at some point, and then they realized the person they were tailgating was their boss. So, you never know who is in that car.
That is incredible. Do you know if their boss realized it was their employee behind them?
I didn't ask.
Does anyone not get road rage? Because I feel like even the most mild-mannered people I know in my life, you know, friends, are still prone to it. They have told me stories. So it feels like it's universal. But are there some personalities or people who don't feel road rage?
Yeah, and I think that's a fantastic question, because it gets us focusing on the people who manage to drive quite calmly. So we find that when we ask people how often they get aggressive, and we can talk about road rage in different ways, as I said, so the very extreme road rage, that sort of getting out of the car, very, very small percentage of people would do that.
Right.
But the more sort of grumbling or swearing at someone or honking the horn, there's about 20% of people who say they never do that. So it's about 80% of the rest of us will at some point express our anger in that way.
Who are these 20% of, you know, amazingly emotionally stable people who don't do that?
But we find they're mainly older drivers, right, who tend to, remain a little bit more calm on the road.
What's going on for older drivers that means they're less prone to engaging in these road ragey behaviours?
There's a whole range of reasons why this might be. We know that how often you're on the road is related to how frequently you might be aggressive.
Right.
Older drivers, they're not on the road as much. And also, they might be more driving for leisure. So we know if we're driving for work or we're driving to work, we tend to get a little bit more angry or aggressive.
Because we're already stressed about what we have to get done that day?
Exactly. There's more people on the road. We're often under time pressure. So they could be all reasons why we find that the older cohort of drivers just tend not to get angry or aggressive on the road.
So to summarise Amanda's advice, try to be a bit more like this 20% of drivers, not the 80% who do get a bit road ragey. Act older than you are, take your time, personalize the people in the cars around you, and you'll get to where you're going minus a whole heap of swearing and middle fingers. And if all else fails, remember the 5-5-5.
Driving is just one part of your day, so don't let it ruin the rest of your day. Do what you can to get yourself home safely.
That is Amanda Stevens, Senior Research Fellow with the Accident Research Centre at Monash University. And a quick update on Simon. Since we first heard from him months and months ago now, he has managed to get a better hold on his road rage. The note to himself on his steering wheel has helped.
Yeah, it's just a little note that says, "It's not about you." I've had to replace it. once or twice.
But the primary reason he's not so ragey anymore is he's now hired a courier service to do most of his Melbourne deliveries for him.
It's not a practical solution for everyone, but it has actually been really good for a lot of reasons. But it means I get to pick and choose the deliveries that I do.
Unsurprisingly, he's mostly choosing not to drive to Melbourne. That is it for All in the Mind this week. Thanks to producer Rose Kerr, senior producer James Bullen, and sound engineer Harvey O'Sullivan. I'm Sana Qadar. Thanks so much for listening. If you're in the car, drive safe. I will catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.